Have you wanted to come home from your 9-to-5? Or maybe just afford curriculum for your family? Maybe there's a family trip or some generous giving that you'd like to do. Today I'm going to speak with Lauren Golden. She's the founder of the Free Mama Movement, and she's going to chat with us about how can you make an income from home? What are the options? There are so many options, but she specifically loves to speak about freelancing. So if you've ever wondered, how do those stay-home moms bring in an extra income? Today we're going to dive into some of the secrets to finding the courage to chase your passions while still being a stay-at-home mom. Hey mamas, welcome to her Home and Heart podcast. Do you want balance in your home life and peace in your heart at the end of each long day? Do you want to let go of feelings of failure because you've yelled at the kids again despite promising yourself and God you'd stop? I'm Katie. I'm a homeschooling mom who also had little kids and wanted to create a thriving home environment. In this podcast, you'll find resources for holistic living, heart connection with your family, and homeschooling so that you won't wake up to regret one day. Even if you have outside-the-box learners or your own health challenges, you'll find support here. Breathe deeply, grab a coffee, and let the kids go play, because it's time for you to find peace and fulfillment that you've been longing for. Let's go! This week, I am super excited to introduce you all to Lauren Golden. She is an award-winning entrepreneur, author, speaker, and founder of the Free Mama Movement, which is a thriving community of tens of thousands of women who refuse to choose between family and financial stability. And Lauren, I'm so excited to have you here because I have run into a large string of women who absolutely adore you, who credit you with success in their business and with their ability to be home with their kids while still working. So I am delighted you're here to talk to us today.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for sharing that compliment with me. It's the way I always receive that now is like, I didn't actually do it. Like they did it. I want to be just super clear about that. Like I don't take responsibility because all of those results come through action and I didn't do that. But it is very humbling and also gratifying to know that me putting myself out of my comfort zone and the actions that I was willing to take were worth it. Like they did have some sort of impact and had kind of that ripple effect for someone else to do that. So I humbly and gratefully accept that very deeply in my soul.
Good. Well, I'm glad because I can't think of another person that I have run into so many others who just really, really appreciated them like you. So thank you. So your wisdom and, you know, knowing how many women have learned from you, I'm really excited to just dig into so that everyone listening can figure out, wait, Lauren's this leader. She teaches moms how to stay home. Like, how does she do that? Because a lot of moms, I remember even 10 years ago myself, I wanted to start a blog. I knew we needed to generate an extra income. We had a lot of extra expenses with special needs and that sort of thing. And I really didn't know how. It can become very mysterious and overwhelming. And, you know, there's a lot of even self-confidence issues in there. So how did you get to this place where, you know, you did it and then now you can lead other people to it?
Yeah. Oh, I will try to take a condensed route to a 3-year journey, if I may. But yeah, like you were saying, I was working full-time at the time at a 9-to-5, which for me had its own internal conflict because I grew up with a stay-at-home mom and I had a pretty deeply rooted story that that's what a good mom was. And so my identity was really rattled when I became a mom because I didn't just become a mom, which I had always wanted to be, but I was a working mom. And I faced a lot of challenges, both inside my head between my ears around what that meant about me, but also the realities of having to do a whole lot more during the day. And I have an amazing partner and spouse. And I will say that I still believe to this day, we've been married 13 years, that women tend to wear a lot of that mental load as well. You know, the birthday parties, the laundry, even if he'll do it, I have to remember to ask him to do it or like whatever those things were at the time. And so it was really challenging for me because while I was able to rewrite this story that I love to work and I want to work, I was not able to find any sort of balance. I know that's kind of a stigmated word, but like I wasn't able to find any reprieve or joy in being a working mom outside of the home. I felt like I was failing everywhere. I felt like my employer wanted more from me. My husband was dead last on the priorities list during these years. And I had, you know, eventually a newborn and a 2-year-old when it was kind of like, I can't, something has to give. Like, I'm seeing my kids for an hour a day, and somehow I have to feed and bathe them during that time. And that's it. And I couldn't do it anymore. And so, much like you were referencing, I went down the Google spiral of how to work from home and tried a whole lot of things. I too thought at one point I would be a blogger, but I did not realize, because I did not go to school for anything that I do today. I didn't study business or marketing or any of this. I studied theology and I studied political science. So we were joking before we recorded. I really put that degree to use. No, I did not. But I didn't study any of this. I'm self-taught after years of trial and error and experience and investing in myself. And so I didn't know what I was going to do. And I didn't know that to have a blog, you still had to have a business behind it if you were going to make money. Like, you had to figure out how you were going to monetize it. Like, I just didn't know. We don't know what we don't know. And so I tried a lot of things. I tried secret shopping and surveys and network marketing, and none of it panned out for me until I kind of connected the dots that freelancing, which I had heard of. If you're not familiar with freelancing, it's kind of like a job, but you're not an employee. So you're self-employed, which means that you have a lot of control over how much money you charge, who you work with, the type of work that you do. So for example, you can freelance as a virtual assistant. So some of us might be more familiar with like an executive assistant or a secretary or like administrative jobs. That's, you can do all of that remotely online. I started my freelancing journey as a social media manager. So Facebook came out when I was in college. I'm a millennial and I'm like, I love this stuff. How do I apply it in a way that benefits business owners and they're willing to pay me for it? And so that was kind of the thing that I started doing that took off. Now, flash forward a couple of years, I was, you know, able to replace my 9-to-5 income. Obviously I left my job. And then something that started is, I'll just tell you, was very selfish. Like, I didn't start freelancing to build a community. Like, I had to leave my job. Like, that's, I'm like, I had to be home with my babies. It was all about me. Blinders were on, but I made it work. And I learned a lot the hard way. And so after a couple of years, you know, all that inward focus really kind of started reaching outward, which I'm sure you can relate to. It's probably why you started this podcast of like, how do we share this with others? And that's what was placed upon my heart. I can't describe it any other way than a calling. And it sounded like, what if this wasn't about you? Like, what if everything you've been through the last 2 or 3 years was preparing you to show this to other people? And I ignored it. I've got goosebumps. Like, I ignored it for a long time because I was terrified. I was like, I am not worthy. Like, I am terrified what other people think about me. Like, what if this doesn't work? What if I fall on my face public, like for months and months and months? And the calling just got louder. And it finally got to the point where my fear of regret of not even trying got bigger than all of those other fears that I mentioned. And so in September of 2017, 5 years ago, I launched the Free Mama Movement Facebook group and started talking about it and did all the things us internet people do, like webinars and courses and all the things. But it was really difficult to get to that point. But obviously now, 5 years in the future, I can tell you it was obviously very worth it. So.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's definitely something where I think it's, you have to dig the well before you're thirsty, you know, and it's,
yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it's really worth putting in the effort because it can pay off later. And for you to have that drive that just really pulled you home and made you want to be with your kids. I know so many moms who are listening are resonating with that and are saying, yes, that's what I want, you know, or I'm risking having to go get a job because we can't keep up with this inflation, right? You know, and they don't want to go. And so to know that, you know, they can build self-confidence, they can self-teach their skill set. Oh, yes. That's needed.
Big yeah. Fan.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge, huge, I think, reassurance and comfort. So how did you begin sorting out the steps? Because you actually take, I know, a step-by-step and teach moms how to go about doing this. So is that just your own journey that you had gone on that you simply showed others what to do?
Yeah, the Free Mama Movement program is literally, and I think a lot of people do this. We look back and, you know, our avatar, the person we want to help, our ideal client, there's lots of online and business lingo in there, but basically like our ideal customer, the person we want to help, is a version of us from the past 2, 5, 10 years ago. And that has continued as I've grown. I've continued to build programs for, you know, the me a few years ago and what would have made this easier for me. Now, when I started freelancing, I did invest in a program. It was very specific to social media management. It was, I think it was technically designed to build like an agency. I didn't want that. I wasn't ready for that. I wanted the first step. Something I've gotten very good at doing, I don't know if it's a God-given talent or just a strength I've honed in on, but I'm very good at seeing kind of the big picture, but then honing in on the piece I really need. Like I'm able to kind of go broad, but then really focus in. And so even though this wasn't maybe speaking directly to me, I was able to get into it, get the thing I needed, and then move forward. And this is actually a trap I see even some of my own students fall into. Now, obviously, I think my program's amazing, but we hear things like course junkies or like webinar, like, and I did this actually too. It's kind of a delay tactic. It's totally rooted in fear of, well, I'm going to go learn all these things. In fact, just a few weeks ago, one of my students was like, do you think I need to go learn this software before I, you know, have this? I'm like, no, I'm like, I am a big fan of getting paid to learn. Your time helping an entrepreneur saves them time. And so the idea of, you know, working for free for forever, or that you have to go learn everything, or man, this was me. I was so convinced there was like a secret out there. I'm like, when I hear that secret, that thing I haven't heard yet that someone's keeping from me for some reason, then I'm going to feel ready. I told myself that lie for so long. I'm like, if I could get those months or years back, like who knows where we'd be. But again, I think it's part of the process, but it's not real. And so, you know, you mentioned confidence earlier. Confidence isn't something you can buy. You don't buy that in a course. You don't wake up one day with confidence. It's not a secret. Confidence comes from doing. It requires experience. You know, think about you as a mom, like even just moving from one kid to the next, like it's a joke in like Pampers commercials or whoever, you know, it's like first kid, second kid, like you, that confidence of parenting, that confidence of navigating conversations with your partner, that confidence of think about your first job, like how'd you feel on day one versus when you quit or move, like it that confidence comes from experience. Yet when it comes to starting an online business, I've worked with thousands of students who don't want to take those first steps until they feel confident. And right. It doesn't work that way. But man, wouldn't it be great if it did?
Yeah, I 100% know exactly the sensation you're talking about and had to wrestle through it too. Because to start a podcast, you think, well, I already have to be somebody. I have to have, you know, some credentials or something. Nope, you just launch into it and it's like the pressure cooker that creates exactly what it was supposed to create, you know.
What a good analogy. And that's what it feels like. It really does. It feels like that pressure of, are people going to find out? Is anybody paying attention? Is, you know, and what's kind of nice, honestly, is that when you first started your podcast, when I first, you know, showed up in my Facebook group and started going live, there wasn't that many people paying attention. And the nice thing is, you're not as good when you start. It's universal. We're just not. And so I think a lot of people will come in and kind of give themselves the excuse of like, well, of course you can do it. Like you're such an extrovert or you're so confident on camera. And I'm like, yes, I'm an extrovert, but that's about energy. That's not about how I feel on camera. I was terrified just like anybody else. I used to like, you know, when you're really nervous and you think you have to go to the bathroom, but you really don't, but you keep having like, that's kind of how I was like, I was terrified. It was so hard to put myself out there and I wasn't good. And you know what? I left up all those videos. So you can go on the internet and find them and you can look at how not good I was because it's important to document that journey. But what was nice about that is while I was finding my voice, while I was figuring out my confidence, like getting there and the reps in that made me start to feel better and honing in on my message and mastering certain skill sets, there weren't that many people paying attention. And what's fascinating to me about that now is that my biggest fear when I started was what other people were going to think about me. Nobody was paying attention. I can tell you, like no one was watching, but that's the thing I was afraid of. So we have to kind of hone these skills of getting over ourselves, of tapping into courage, not confidence, and knowing that if we show up consistently, the confidence will be a natural byproduct of being in that pressure cooker you mentioned.
Yeah. Oh, I love that though. Tapping into your courage, because then that's going to build the confidence.
Exactly.
Before we continue with today's chat, I want to sincerely invite you to come over to Facebook and join our group and our community. I would love to carry a conversation with you over there and interact with you and have you get to know the other beautiful families that are inside of our private community. Go to the description. You'll see a link at the very bottom where you can easily click and go ahead and join our group. I look forward to seeing you inside.
I would imagine that just leaving your 9-to-5 and taking that responsibility on yourself to earn the same income from home took courage, because you probably didn't have the confidence to know 100% that you could do it, I'm guessing.
No. And do you know this story?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if that was a setup. It would have been a really good one if you did. No. And what's interesting is I did not even have the courage to quit my job. So I started freelancing while I was still at my 9-to-5. These were hard times in the Golden House. I'm just not going to lie to you. My husband is also an entrepreneur. He had left probably maybe the year prior, he had left his 9-to-5. So we had actually taken out a 6-figure SBA loan for him to purchase a business that was already in existence. So we had a lot of pressure and debt that we were not used to. He was working 7 days a week. He was managing a team of blue collar employees that were in and out and just very young, very green. And he had no management experience. My husband, it was trial by fire, but he was doing something he loved and was so passionate about. But I was the stable one. I had the job and the health insurance and the 401k, but I was miserable. And not only was I overwhelmed and doing all the things, but I was actually becoming resentful of how come, even though you're killing yourself working all the time, how come you get to go pursue this thing you love and I'm trapped at a job? And so it was brutal. I had found freelancing. I was making a couple $1,000 extra a month, which was amazing financially for where we were at the time. It was working, but I'm not a natural entrepreneur. I always say I kind of grew into it. I've evolved into it. My husband's a total visionary type, loves risk, clearly took out the SBA loan, but I'm I can't leave my job. We need health insurance. Who's going to be the responsible one? Little did I know there are tens of millions of Americans who are self-employed who figured this out, but I had this mental block that it wasn't okay. Well, around this time, I kept making these year-long plans. And I actually talk about this in my book, and I still feel this way. The thing about a year-long plan is it's close enough that you're still excited. You're dreaming a little. You might even take a couple steps forward, but it's far enough. Your back's not against the wall. I got a year. You know, it's that sweet spot of well, I'm excited, but I'm not going to do anything about it yet. So I kept making these year-long exit strategies. We found out I was pregnant, was not planned. And so then I'm okay, well, I'm just not going back from maternity leave because I'm also a chicken. Okay. So I'm I'm just going to email them while I'm on maternity leave and let them know I'm not coming back. I don't know how to quit a job like this. I thought it was my cop out. Well, we went in for my 12-week ultrasound thinking everything's okay, and found out that we had lost that baby, and it rocked my world. I had never experienced a miscarriage before. It was a new doctor. I remember, I can still go back to that room, and I remember looking at her face and knowing before she said anything. And my first thought was, I feel so bad for this woman who has to tell this patient that she just met. I felt bad for her. That was my first thought. Now, my second thought was devastation, total self-pity party. I went to the lowest of lows, and I didn't come out for a little bit. But what happened is I came that next week and I ended up quitting my job 1 week later. And so it was completely this place of total impulse. It was an act of courage that was totally spontaneous from this super low point. And I look back now and I genuinely believe that that baby was a gift. That baby changed the trajectory of not just my life, but now tens of thousands of other people, because I truly do not know that I ever would have quit my job, because I was so stuck and so safe and so I had all this story that it just completely changed my experience.
Yeah. Wow, that is so powerful. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I've told that story very many times, but I feel it was so long ago, but I still like my relationship with that experience, knowing what I know now about my life, it's one of gratitude. Like it was one of the hardest times of my life and there was so much loss, but I was able to turn that darkness into such light. It took time. It took a long time. In fact, it took the birth of our rainbow baby probably to like really have some peace about it. But now it's like those breadcrumbs, right? And I look back and I'm like, wow, that is the moment. That was the moment that changed everything. And so it's very special to me now in a very different way.
That is amazing. That is amazing. So it's like beauty that came from ashes, you know, just,
oh yes.
Wow. So yeah. You know, for a mom who has been in a hard place and really does want to change her life, what does that road in your experience working with all these women all the time, what does that road typically look like for your average mom who's trying to either come home or stay home? Is it a lengthy process? Is it something she can make a year plan and actually be done? Or is this more like a 5-year plan for most people?
Oh, definitely not a 5-year plan, but it can be. So there's two parts to this, right? You know, the roadmap's out there. Of course, I have a program. There's other programs. I also have so much free content on my YouTube channel. The information is there. Like, there's not really any new ideas anymore. Everything is online. Please find a credible source, though. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. But the roadmap's there. So it's like two things. It's number one, like the mindset is what gets a lot of people blocked. If you're telling yourself, I can't do this, or this is hard, it's going to be hard for you to do the thing. And what I find is there's kind of different groups of people. There's the people who are the chronic watchers, which I've totally been there. And then there's a lot of different people, actually. There's the perfectionist. I've also been there, where it's like, my logo's not quite right, or I'm going to fix my website. The problem is that's not a revenue generating activity. Meaning when you go work on your website, you can stay busy. You can spend weeks on it. You know, you could spend months building a website, but you're not making any money. And so we call these like income generating activities or revenue producing activities, and it requires some sales. Now, a lot of us have an icky relationship with sales. I do. Some of that started during my network marketing days, and there's kind of that hey girl persona. I think a lot of companies have tried to overcome that stigma, but it's difficult. A lot of us also know what it feels like to have somebody door knock or whatever those bads that we all know, the used car salesman, whatever it is. And so it's hard because when we think about starting a freelancing business, we've been programmed to be an employee. We've been programmed, even just going to school, like other people telling us what to do and telling, you have to step up. You have to take control and feel empowered. And a lot of that, it's not tactics, it's mindset. You have to believe that you are worth charging a certain amount. You have to feel worthy of talking to a business owner about the services that you offer. The tactics you can learn all day, but if you are not willing to show up and do it, even before you feel confident and ready to do it, it's going to make it a longer process, you know? And then another thing that I'll offer is that we all pay with time or money all the time. You know, and my life looks very different today because now I have more money to pay for things. Like, I don't have to clean my house anymore. That's such a gift and it's a privilege, and not everybody has it. I will also say I had to earn it both financially in my business, but also with mindset, because I had a story that was programmed in my mind of like, if you can do it, you should do it. And I had to overcome that and realize like, those 3 hours on a Saturday that I'm using cleaning, I could be investing in relationship with my family in a different way. And it's just kind of a different story. And so when it comes to your business, you will also pay with time or money. You know, investing in a program or a business coach or a networking group or, you know, or a software program that can automate certain things. You know, a lot of times we think like, well, I'm spending money, and that's really difficult to overcome, but it's also something that can hold you back and require you to spend more time either in trial and error or figuring things out the hard way. And that's why I built my program, was to save people time. It's why I actually spend more of my workday producing free content than I do on any of my paid stuff. And it's because I want my mission to be accessible to people. I want my work to be accessible. But just kind of keep that in the back of your head. You know, if you want to build, I've had women quit their job in as little as a month. I've had people get their first client in as little as a couple days, you know, but it's how fast are you willing to put yourself out there? How quickly are you willing to begin before you're ready or feel ready, you know? And so it is a little bit of a mind game. And then I've had students who have been in my program for 2 years, and you know what? They're not moving at all. They come with the same question every week and the same complaint every week. And it's easy to let excuses overpower us. So something you hear about a lot in the online space is your why. What's your why? And I challenge you to go really, really deep with it. Because if you come up with just, I want to start a business because I want money, or because I want to show my kids, I challenge you to go deeper, because you can go get a job and make money. Like, you can do a lot of things to be there for your kids. As I started this conversation, there's a lot of good ways to be a good mom. That is not one size fits all. You need to define what you want it to look like for you, but you got to get pretty deep about why you want it, because it will be difficult to start your business. I would never lie to anybody. And it's a lot easier than you're going to make it. It's not as hard. Like, you will make it hard. It's not actually that hard. It's relatively simple. The steps, the tactics, but whether or not you choose to show up and apply them will be up to you.
Today's episode is sponsored by Her Home and Heart Method Course, where homeschooling families are creating a holistic home ecosystem so that they can thrive. In 2023, this course will be released, and we will dig into the nest system, where we will cover the four most important areas of home life that will easily be tweaked and help you to create a peaceful, joyful, thriving home environment and a home ecosystem where you can, no matter how much grief or pain or trouble there is in your life and in lives around you and in the world around you, you can create a place that is an emotionally, mentally, and physically safe and healthy place of rest, a place that honors God, that honors your family, and that will carry down through generations of your family to come. So in 2023, we will be launching the Her Home and Heart Method course, and I cannot wait to see you there. In the second half of this episode, we're going to be digging into how to transform fear into courage and to make it really work for us, how to take our failures and actually use them to create bigger, better wins, and how to find the courage to model to our children that pursuing our passions is something that they can do in their lives too. We're also going to bring one of Lauren's top tricks, one of her success tricks, to you in the end of this second half of the episode. So I'm really looking forward to bringing that to you in just a couple days. Thanks for listening and spending time with us today.
If you know anyone who could benefit from my mom's podcast, please share it and leave a review so others can find us too.
See you next time.